the Sunday that falls within the octave of Christmas, the 8 days of Christmas, the octave, is celebrated as the Feast of the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And it comes, of course, this year, the Sunday is the day after the 25th. So it was interesting to me. I've decided I kind of like this. For priests, actually, having these back-to-back big work days, you know, the only day we work is really Sunday most of the time. Those holy days come in too, you know, but the is the fact that somehow or another, having this kind of fall on the weekend, and it's kind of kept people saying, like, Merry Christmas and things like that. I've been surprised today. So often I've noticed sometimes even on Christmas afternoon, Christmas Day afternoon, and someone will be driving somewhere, and I'll notice some people have already taken down their Christmas trees or something like that. Or certainly by the day after Christmas, all the Christmas music that's been playing ever since Halloween, every day, all the time on the radio, it's gone immediately. It's like, what? But this morning I heard the Christmas music was still there. So maybe I kind of like this, so we can really celebrate Christmas the way Christmas is supposed to be celebrated. In any case, the church calls to our attention here the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, which I think is so, you know, deeply satisfying and appealing to us to see this communion of tenderness and love and humility. It's really amazing on all parties. It's just such a beautiful thing of the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. There's a place where I've gone on retreat a number of times where they have a little shrine in the yard of the Holy Family, and it has a nice little plaque on it saying something along these lines, referring to the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph as the earthly Trinity that help us to see the communion of love, which is the heavenly Trinity. And of course, that's really the role of the family on this earth, is to show us how a communion of love works and how it and what it looks like. It was interesting today, though, in reflecting on this gospel, Jesus says to Mary and Joseph, after he had been lost in Jerusalem, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" And I have to say, as a priest, it seems like almost every year, there's an incredible blessing that happens on Christmas Day. And yesterday, it was really interesting. I had a call to go to the hospital yesterday to anoint a patient. And so I went there, and in the room, I didn't get a whole lot of the details, but I presume it was the daughter of the patient. And she said to me, she said, "You know, this is something I've always known, but I've never really... this year, for some reason, it kind of came home to me." And I think that's the way it is with a lot of the maybe truths of our faith. At certain times, they kind of come to life or become real for us. And she said, I've always, you know, I'm an only child. And I've always thought it'd been so neat to have brothers and sisters. And I realized Jesus is my brother. And that's true. By baptism, God the Father had adopted her into his family, and she became a child of God, which Jesus is by his nature. We all are children of God by adoption through baptism, and become brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I pointed out to her, brothers and sisters of each other. And she was taking great joy and comfort. And so when Jesus says, "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" This is where we must be also. Because this is the house of our Father. And we are a part of the family of God. It's really an unbelievable thing to think about. At least it is for me. On the natural level, I have practically no family. It's sort of strange. My beloved parents have gone on to God, and interestingly, they were both only children, so I have no aunts and uncles and no first cousins. My only sister is a religious sister, so no nieces and nephews or that sort of thing. Of course, I'm a priest, so that rules out a lot of things too. And the only thing about it is that might be an advantage is there are no in-laws. I have no in-laws, so anyhow, maybe that's a good thing. I don't know, but when I go to Christmas dinner, when I finally get to that point on Christmas Day, I have to get pretty far down the family tree. I go to for those of you who are genealogical nerds, a first cousin once removed and two second cousins. Okay, and that's about as close a family as I've got. So this idea of being a member of the family of God is an amazing thing. And that this being our Father's house. It's also one of these beautiful things about the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, because Jesus gave to us from the cross his mother to be our mother. When he said to the beloved disciple, "You're a beloved disciple, aren't you? Behold your mother." And St. Joseph is, of course, Jesus' father according to the law, but he's also the patron of the whole universal church. He who took care of the Holy Family. I mean, God must have had a lot of confidence in that man, don't you think? To entrust Jesus and the Blessed Virgin Mary to him. And so he's always a good one to go to, especially for all of those sort of temporal things, that we might worry about. He's a great protector and a great provider. Go to Joseph. As you know, I'm a great, great devotee of St. Joseph. And we have all these great brothers and sisters in the faith. Big brothers and sisters, like, for example, all the saints. They can be they're like our big brothers and sisters. In the household of God. But all of us, to remember the deep bond of communion that exists between us, or ought to exist between us. It is a truth that the most intimate union that can exist among people in this world is to take Holy Communion together. Holy Communion certainly has a vertical dimension of communion with God, but it also has a horizontal dimension. And we need to remember that. Maybe we'd even sit a little closer to each other. No, I don't know. Like families do, right? Because we are. Folks, you're the only family I've got, practically, all right? And this house is our Father's house. And whatever our experiences of family life on the human and natural level might be. And maybe you're from one of those, big, boisterous, bumptious, happy families. That's a great thing. I always love being in the midst of all that. That's a great thing. Maybe some of you have had some, painful things on the human level in family life. God always looks at you, God the Father always looks at you as his child. Always. Now and forever. Whenever you come before God the Father, and this is why we should come before God the Father frequently in prayer, he sees his child, whom he loves, and with whom he is pleased. I like that image of the prodigal son there over the, as you go into the confessionals. It's the prodigal son being embraced by the Father. You know, the prodigal son comes and he's saying, okay, I'm not worthy to be your son anymore. This is what I've done, whatever. And the Father lets him say that, but the Father says, you are my son. That's what the Father sees, always sees. And that's what God always sees in you, his child. And it's really in another one of these amazing things that when Jesus taught us to pray, when the apostles said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples, he taught them the prayer that I always like to call the Our Father. And those first two words are so important. They're the most important words. First of all, that we can call the Godhead of all of everything what Jesus calls him, which is Father, Abba. That's an amazing thing. But he also tells us to remember that we are brothers and sisters in the family of God because we are to call him our Father. Our Father. And so tonight, it's wonderful to find you in the house of the Father. Just like Jesus said, did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?